Lessons I've Learned, a series of podcasts by global consultant, best-selling author, and former Harvard Business School professor, David Maister.
Hello, I'm David Maister. This series of 15 podcasts is called Managing Professionals: Attitudes, Skills, and Behaviors. It's designed to help people who have the responsibility for managing a group of professionals. This 10th episode is called Help Underperformers and is based on my book, First Among Equals, co-authored with Patrick McKenna. In previous episodes, I've discussed coaching, the characteristics of the manager, the need for inspiration, and how to deal with different kinds of people. We now turn to the issue of how to help people who are underperforming. When someone in your group is not pulling their weight, the desire to avoid conflict leads many managers to waste a lot of time and personal energy trying to rationalize rather than correct the problem. We all face those situations where a performance problem persists in spite of our best efforts to be clear about expectations. We thought the matter was settled, only to find that the other person's behavior continues to be unacceptable. Many leaders get discouraged when this happens and abandon their efforts to obtain a change, or they postpone them for another time. The result is to let the individual off the hook. However, an effective group leader must have the courage to deal with issues before they turn into real problems. The time to help people is before they're in real trouble. The key to achieving a lasting solution is persistence, sending the message that you are serious, both in seeking a remedy and in offering your help. A common mistake in dealing with underperformance is rushing to talk to the underperformer without pausing to consider why he or she is in fact underperforming. At a meeting of group leaders, I ask the people there to list the most common reasons why their colleagues underperform. Here's their list. Number one, trouble at home or other personal problems. Divorce, alcoholism, depression, the kids have been arrested. Number two, burnout. People who no longer find the work interesting or challenge. Number three, lack of competency, people who are in fact not up to the job. Number four, a fear of failure in trying something new and reaching for career progress. Number five, people underperform because they're making a quality of life choice. They lack the desire to contribute more energy or time to the business. The sixth thing that could be is people could be underperforming for none of the reasons we've already given, but because there are externally driven factors such as the loss of a recent client or a downturn in their sector. It could be that there's a failure to keep up in their field. The people are just being less in demand because they haven't kept their skills up. Of course, their underperformance may be due to us. They could be struggling because of poor time management or other inefficiencies. It could be a lack of knowledge about what they should be doing to succeed. Again, it could be us because they're being poorly managed. Last one that was given to me is an insecurity that is due to things like firm merger discussions and ends up with people being withdrawn into their shell pending resolution of other things that are going on. Now, as you think about this list and add some others of your own, again to the question of what are the possible causes that you think might be missing of why people in fact are underperforming, and then ask yourself which of these reasons are the most common in your real world. When I asked people to select the most common, they chose burnout, loss of enthusiasm, quality of life choices, personal family issues, and externally driven market changes. Notice that none of these really have to do with capability. One person said, you know, it all ties together. The work can be so demanding and it's so hard on you, the result is you just ultimately say, I don't like to do this anymore. And then that spills over into personal and family issues, and it can also make you say you really want a different quality of life. The reason people are not performing is rarely because they don't know what to do, nor is it that they don't want to do it. The incentives to do it are probably there in your organization. If they aren't doing what they should, it's probably due to something deeply personal in their lives. The only way to find out what it is and to deal with it is to talk about it. I don't know if my unscientific survey is applicable universally, but I found it fascinating that this group stressed reasons for lack of performance that very rarely had anything to do with competence and everything to do with confidence. If you're actually going to make a difference as a manager, your task of turning around an unproductive person is often to help him or her find some meaning in what they and your group do for a living. If the issues are loss of enthusiasm and/or personal issues, then you will need to help the individual rediscover the energy, excitement, and passion in the group's work. Your task is to figure out for each person, as an individual, which reason for underperformance exists. There's no point talking to people about incentives or about importance if, in fact, what's going on is that they are, in fact, having trouble with alcoholism. Now, you may not like this conclusion, but it turns out that if the reason for underperformance is alcoholism, then you must be able to deal with that issue. If what's causing the underperformance is an office affair gone bad, you must be willing to talk about that. This is one more reason why I personally do not wish to be a manager, because that means I would have to show a lot more interest in people's personal lives than I choose to show. But if you don't want to do it, then maybe you need to join me in not being a manager. Before you can formulate any response, you really need to understand what is going on with that person. You must ask first and start responding later. Very often, we just rush into assumptions about why people are unproductive. The reason is usually not hard to figure out if you have a track record of ongoing informal conversations with your people. You've got to have a discussion trying to find out what's going on. Say something like, "I don't want to get things wrong here, but I get the sense that you're not fully engaged with everything going on. You don't seem to be showing your normal levels of passion. Something seems to be going on, and I'd love to help you if I can. Is there anything I can do?" It's important to remember that the goal is to convey a genuine concern. How can I help you? While leaving the responsibility for the improvement with the individual concerned. No group leader will tell you that this is the easy part of the job. It isn't. The demands of clients, group tasks, and time-consuming projects all combine to make your job of focusing on performance issues an easy one to postpone or procrastinate about. Yet the truly effective group leader succeeds because he or she doesn't put off this part of the job. Effective group leaders know that the key to improving underperformance is to address it early and proactively before it becomes a full-blown problem. Of course, the variation in the causes of performance problems are infinite. Some people may not have even recognized their performance deficiency, while others may be unwilling to try to improve. Still others may require time and coaching to move from a declining area of work with encouragement and support to retool for a new area. Now, a number of important steps can be taken to help a person whose performance needs attention. Start by setting up a meeting to discuss the performance issue that concerns you. The goal here is to stress your commitment to solving the problem together. You need to be positive, show a degree of personal concern, and make it clear that you want the other person's ideas in the meeting. Schedule the meeting far enough in advance so that he or she will have ample time to consider the performance issue at hand. Try saying something like, "I'd like to get together with you on Friday to talk about your workload. I have some concerns about your numbers, but since you're a lot closer to it than I am, I'd like your ideas on how things could improve. Give some thoughts to it this week and let's talk on Friday." Reassure the person of your confidence in them and your desire to be supportive. This is important to the individual's dignity and self-esteem. We all want to feel that we have someone on the sidelines pulling for us. You could say, "I know there are times when work dries up a little for all of us. You're a competent person, so I know you can turn this around. I'll do anything I can to help." Your most important task is to ensure that the individual recognizes that there actually is a performance issue. You may need to set out or review the specific performance expectations for this person. Now, you will almost certainly get a reaction that is defensive, uncooperative, or even slightly hostile. That's only human. Remember that your primary focus is on the problem, the issue, the situation, not the individual. Stay positive, stay in control, and listen carefully, because it's important to identify and understand the reasons for the underperformance. When you get resistance, the smart thing to ask yourself is, "What's my goal in this conversation?" This question, asked silently in your own brain, can act like a circuit breaker so that you don't blow a fuse. It keeps you focused on what you want to accomplish so that you don't come away frustrated and angry. The key is to stay calm in the face of resistance. identify and discuss any obstacles to performance beyond the individual's control. In some instances, there may be perceived obstacles that the individual thinks they cannot influence. They may be real, administrative policies, compensation inequities, physical or emotional health, or not feeling fully responsible, or imagined, lack of priorities, convenient excuses. If the obstacles are legitimate and you are sure that the individual really cannot remove them alone, your role as a group leader is to help remove these obstacles. In the event the suggested obstacles are not real, you need to confront the excuses. You might say, I understand that you've been feeling rather burned out lately. I think we all go through periods when we need some new stimulus to redirect our focus. The unfortunate reality is that you're accomplishing less and I'm concerned for you. Do you have some ideas on how we could help you refocus and what specific first steps you could take to get back on track? Next, seek their ideas for improvement. Keep your colleague focused on all the areas in which performance improvement may be possible and ask for their ideas about how they might improve. Words you could use here might be, are you aware that it has been taking you longer to produce things than any of the rest of us? Do you realize how much rework is often necessary in what you do? What do you think we can do to improve this situation? Now, you must agree on specific actions to be taken to solve the performance issue. In most instances, you may have a number of constructive ideas that you believe, if acted upon, would help resolve the situation. However, you would be well advised to allow your colleague to come up with his or her remedial ideas first. It's important to remember that the underperformance issue and whatever action must be taken are the responsibility of that individual. If you shape the remedial action plan for him or her, you allow that person the convenient excuse that this wasn't really their plan, it was yours. Set out all of the ideas you came up with together as an action plan. Allow the person to choose which ones are of the highest priority and capable of being implemented. Make a note of which each idea entails. Who's going to take responsibility? The anticipated date for implementation and the expected results. In some instances, you may just get a vague promise to implement some remedial action. If that happens, accept it, but also press for a more specific commitment. If you still don't get a specific undertaking, then ask him to think over the conversation and return to discuss it at a specified future date. It might be useful at this stage to take notes, put your mutual understanding in writing, and assure that your colleague gets a copy. Since taking notes in the meeting can come across as authoritarian, you might want to defer this until the meeting's over, but if so, do it straight away. Say something like, I like your ideas about involving another group. Why don't you go ahead and prepare a written summary for the group, and I'll call their group leader to set up a meeting. Coaching someone to success depends upon systematic, quiet repetition. You will need to use frequent, if gentle, reminders. Some coaches might oppose using this approach, believing he should know what's expected of him. Well, while that may be true, he may not understand how serious you are about the matter. Repeated and gentle reminders convey your determination. It's a good idea to set up a specific follow-up date to review progress. Being consistent and insistent is one of the best ways to improve performance. If the person sees this meeting as a one-shot deal, you run the risk of obtaining, at best, only a temporary involvement in performance. If, however, your meeting can be viewed as part of an ongoing coaching intervention, the individual should begin to concentrate on matching performance to expectations. The best way to ensure this is to set a specific follow-up date to review the action plan. Repeating these same key steps will help guide you through the follow-up meeting. If we can get a meeting with you and the healthcare group set up for next week, you might say, we should have a sense of how things are working by the end of the month. Let's meet at 4 o'clock on the 30th to see how we're doing. Acknowledge any achievement, no matter how small, during your follow-up meeting, as soon as possible following any achievements. To position yourself to be able to do this, schedule a series of short review meetings, each a few weeks apart. Your role as group leader is to praise achievements back to acceptable levels of performance. Only a few options exist for you as the practice group leader to deal with protracted failure to improve performance. You can choose to avoid the problem and let firm management deal with it. You can suggest that the individual may be better served moving to some other group. You can warn this person that you're being left in the unfortunate position of recommending a salary reduction. Or you can lobby the firm to terminate this person. If someone's not willing to be part of the culture of the organization, if they truly have a different value system than the rest of your group, you know what? They've got to be gone. They are going to destroy your group if they stay. This has been Help Underperformers, the 10th episode in my 15-part series, Managing Professionals, Attitudes, Skills, and Behaviors. In future episodes, we will look at the topics of dealing with difficult people and how to build teams. If you'd like more information or access to other podcasts in this series or the previous series, Marketing Professional Services, go to my website, davidmaester.com. This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set from my website, davidmaester.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.